Father, we worship you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Would you lift your hands and magnify him with all faith, believing that he has come and done everything well and completed everything that we've asked him for. Hallelujah. We worship you, Father. Not one thing left undone. We believe you now, presently, in Jesus' name. We give you all the praise and separate all the glory and all the honor. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. Oh, Abba, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So important that all of you that receive the moment that you just, I mean, it really wouldn't matter, I guess. You know something changed on the inside of you. That's where faith begins, on the inside. So all of you that some of them can't, and that's good. But you were standing up here for something, and you know you received this morning. Why don't you stand up, those of you that run this line, and just give all the glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. I glorify you. I exalt you, Jesus. I exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. May be seated. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I think that what was going on up here, probably the most beautiful portrait of Jesus that you can see. It's called body ministry. The closest thing that you in this life could possibly attain to in it, or wrap your mind around in it, is if you had a child or a grandchild that you just want to eat up, you know. You don't know if you want to bite them or kiss them. You just love them so much. Well, that's how the Father looks down when he sees his body ministering one to another. It just raises something up on the inside of him that human expression, there's just no words to describe it. That's his joy. And his joy is my strength. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Lord. To put something on hold, a whole service for people, is what he's all about. There were some very serious needs that were. And I would say to everybody that God prayed for, if you've got another doctor's appointment or an appointment with anything, like Christy said, check it again. Get it checked again, even if they don't want to. If you make somebody mad, get it checked again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to give him the revival more than anything else. But you know what's a whole lot more important to me, and I believe to a lot of you? It's a whole lot more important than the revival. That's in this life to get to know him. I mean, with intimacy. Some men missed the mark. They went after the power. They thought raising the dead was the crescendo. They even thought miracles. My God, if I can do a miracle. Mighty miracles, blind eyes. They missed the boat. They thought that was the best. No, the very best is when you get to know Him face to face. Hallelujah. That doesn't identify me. I'm not. If I don't get to preach or do get to preach, I've found a place where my identification is. It's when hot tears, my God, I know what I was born, I know I'm His and I was born for, and everything else just comes to full clarity when hot tears in intimate places, in private places. My God, the pulpit and ministry and everything is just, it's a step in Him, but it's not the fullness. Hallelujah. The fullness is to know Him. And in Him, all things are possible. Thank you, Jesus. See, you already know this, but let me remind you again. The revival that we're affectionately courting, it does not establish what He's already done. It doesn't establish it. What He's already done, the power to raise the dead and heal the sick and all that, that's already been accomplished on planet Earth. When we receive the revival, that's only a fruit of what He's already done. Revival doesn't establish what He's done. What He's done establishes revival. Because otherwise you'd be waiting for His power to fall back on earth. It's already come. What does that mean? That doesn't mean... What it means is this. I don't have to wait to some high point in the future to pull my miracle out of the hat. Listen, if Jesus did it, I can now. Right now. I don't care if revival's 100 years from now, way after we're dead and gone. Right now, I can raise the dead. I can heal the sick. I can receive miracles for my body because the revival doesn't establish His power. His power and what He's done establishes the revival. Hallelujah. If there wasn't something already established, we couldn't get it done. Hallelujah. He doesn't come the day that we have our outpouring. He's already come. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. So, we can have mundane services before He comes with an outpouring, like we're calling a statewide outpouring. Mundane services where you... Oh, what happened? Oh, four or five got their eyes opened up. A leg grew out. Three deaf ears. Five got healed of cancer. I mean, you know, I don't know. We went away wondering, well, how'd we miss it this week, God? It was a mundane service. That's what's available because He's already done it. He has already done it. Hallelujah, Jesus. If He hadn't already done it, then we're waiting on Him to come back to earth. We need another day of Pentecost. We need another resurrection. He's already done it. We don't need a revival for miracles. You said, Pastor, we've always needed a revival for miracles. You're double talking. No. What He's done, what He's already accomplished, establishes the revival. Which means you can step up at any time, square your shoulders in the Word of God and say, that's mine. I want that. I want that. Wonder what the pastor's phone number is. I couldn't call him and get him in agreement with me, so I can't have it. I don't need your agreement for anything He put in the Word for me to stand on and say, that's mine. Everybody else said I couldn't have it. I'll prove them wrong. Hallelujah, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. What if I had to go and get your agreement for you to get me healed? What if you were mad at me? What if I couldn't find you? The two or three in agreement that Jesus was talking about is when somebody got offended and you went and got somebody, got them in agreement. You visited that person and tried to take the word and restore them. But anything you put in that word, I single-handedly, for me personally, it's mine. Thank you, Jesus. Well, He didn't leave us as orphans, did He? He not only birthed us, born us again, then He gave us tablets. They're not written in stone, they're written in our hearts. We can sit there and read those words. And besides for that, He gave us a paraclete, a comforter. One that would lead and guide us into all truth. Hallelujah. Well, we know His Word is truth, but if you've been around very long, you know that people can have the Word and still get just as squirrely as a rabid fox, a rabid fox. I mean, just weird. Weird. But guess what? You can't pray in the revelation gift and stay weird all your life. If the sun in its place, just in the measure of metric space of the relativity of how close one star is to the other, in that relativity, if it moved, if something bumped it, or if it just sneezed and it moved just a little bit, just an inkling of an inch away from us, we turn into an ice cube. Just a hair. If it gets off, we turn into an ice cube, this planet. If it teeters a little bit, just a little bit, towards us, we burn up like a crispy critter, like a marshmallow. What keeps all that straight? Holy Spirit. The Word of God, He set it in motion. The moment you get born again, you still have the capacity to get squirrely and weird and indifferent. If you don't, by the new nature, receive that person of the Holy Spirit who says, okay, I've come now. I want to sit down on the inside of you. And for the rest of your life, I'll teach you. I'll help you. I'll lead and guide you into all truth. I'll even help you how to raise your kids and have a family. Get a little teeter this way, you won't realize that it's of us a necessity. You got born again and you had them in church for a little bit, and then the world takes you out. We said it before, but it bears repeating. What does He want? What's the enemy want? He wants to evangelize those kids. They're only babies like that. And then they're grown. You say, oh, they're grown when they're 18. No, by the time they're 15, 14, 15, they've already got such strong opinions that if you didn't bend those opinions in the right direction, their want-tos and desires are so far different than yours that you'd only make them come under protest. Just teeter a little bit in your emotions and don't bring them up in the house of God. The travesty is this. Even when you as a parent, see, because you're evangelizing them, and when you backslide, the problem is those innocent kids backslide with you. Because they can't crank the car up. And they can't come to church on their own. And they can't hear the message. And they won't be evangelized by the wisdom of God. So if you backslide, they backslide with you. And it doesn't take but just 2 or 3 years at a right time in their life for you to backslide. And then when you come back to God and say, "Okay, God, I'm sorry, I've been away." Guess what? You're an individual. They're an individual. Your repentance doesn't change what's been sown in them. It doesn't change what their desires are. So if they gleaned during that 2 or 3 year of sabbatical and you went out there, those desires of the world, just because you repent and come back and say, "Okay, family, serve God with me." They say, "No way. No, I got my own thing going now." So then you got to labor like crazy. And He can do anything, but you still... But listen, you had, and we have, one that'll guide us into all truth. He'll keep you. He'll, even when families have left one after the other and those little kids are out there right now getting evangelized, and even when somebody comes back, they got to be evangelized. Because somebody teetered one way or the other because the Holy Spirit wasn't being their guide. But teeter the other way. Teeter the other way. Put some kind of clamp on them like this. And make sure your home is a church over and over. It's not a family. It's something. Because church is not even supposed to be like what most people call church. Church is family. Put claws in them and make them sing all day long, and make them read the word all day long, and no, you can't go to the prom. My God, there's nasty things go on there. Oh my God, you can't get involved in that. You can't go. You ask me, can you get in something so worldly as baseball, football, all those things of the world? Put those kind of claws on. Teeter a little bit the other. You'll have some kind of religious freak that when they get a chance to run, they'll hate God, despise Him, and cuss His name because religion had them bound up. It wasn't even a resemblance of what the true life of Jesus Christ is. You can teeter either way, but there's a balance. It's a loving kindness. You can sing 50s in your household. They need to watch Daddy grab Mom and caress her and not be ashamed that He loves her, because otherwise they grow up under thinking sex is bad. And when somebody says it, somebody stiffens up like, "You didn't say the word. Didn't say the word." My God, they need to see you grab her and ravish her in a good way and say, "My God, that's for me for the future. I get to do that with my wife. And I get to enjoy all these things. I'm not a freak. Jesus Christ lives inside of me. And I get to enjoy my life. And I get to win the loss for Jesus Christ." Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. You can either burn up, you can either freeze up or burn up. But I've got a counselor. His name is the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Great is my God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, I worship You, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I think you need to stand with me and worship God a little bit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Just to exhort you just for a few moments over the offering, and then I'm going to let you go home today. He's going to let you. But I think we need to greet each other first. But you know, last week I said something about, well, the buffet line, it's going to close now in just a few minutes at 1. I won't say who, because he's bigger than me. Said, yeah, the buffet line he went to closed at 2. So he stayed. Right, Gerald? Hallelujah. We're already had a good time, haven't we? I'll exhort you in just a minute over the offering, then we'll go home, as far as I know. Unless he comes in, like, then you'll have the freedom to do what you want. Next Sunday, we'll graduate our seniors. Hallelujah. With cap and gown or not, whatever. So that'll be for the ones that Homer has, and then the ones that, if you come here, or you're an immediate family member of someone that's graduating. So, not, you know, you could invite your daughter or grandson or somebody like that, but not cousin three removed, or nephew three removed. Mavis, I think you're graduating this year, so we're expecting. I know my nephew Dalton is graduating, and there may be a few more, but I don't really know them so much. But next Sunday, we'll graduate our seniors, so we'll have a good time. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Just a few more minutes. Terry, tell us real quick what some of the good reports that's going on, something happened in your shoulder.
Back last year, I had done something to my right shoulder. And then, you know, it was kind of there. And then I did another thing to it, pulled it in May. And then I did something else to it, throwing a stick in like September or something. And it got to the point where I woke up one morning and I could not move my arm past here. I kid you not. I mean, to put deodorant on, I had to spray it on this hand and go up in there because that was it. I mean, it wasn't going any higher. And it was a battle, but hallelujah. I am so thankful.
Jesus.
I mean, it was scary. I really thought, you know, the enemy comes with the thoughts. And for a while there, I really had to fight the thoughts of, you're going to be deformed. You're going to hold your arm like this. And you're going to be deformed. You're going to look deformed. You're never going to be able to dance for the Lord again. And I was like, no, 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 no. And just kept, you know, working with it, confessing the word. And, you know, hallelujah. I just give him
hallelujah,
all the glory.
Jesus. Thank you, Father. Charles, you got another, what was it, a CAT scan or what? Tell us what happened. No comeback of cancer. Hallelujah. That's how many? Four times. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Well, you move it around. Faith without works is dead. Besides for the fact of all the natural, I'll just tell you one thing. You get an injury, if you just stop using that part of your body, it takes 3 times, 10 times longer to heal. Not just the spiritual application, but if you get an injury and say, I'm not going to do that, find some way to do it, but with less intensity, because it takes the body moving to heal the body. If you just lay up and say, that's some people never get healed. And their body would heal theirself apart from faith if they'd do something about it. But if you don't move that part of your body in some way, it stays stiff and doesn't get all of the blood in there and all the necessity. You'll lose elasticity and you'll... It's where people do go to wheelchairs. Hallelujah. We're blessed and we're healed. Hallelujah, Jesus. Now, get you ready for faith. Let's turn to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. How many of you are extremely blessed during these promising times? Hallelujah. Now, this is a scripture that we've read before, but we're going to read again. It's found in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 20. Or through 22 through 33. Hallelujah. My God, Haven't we had a good time already? Just an eternity was set in action this morning with these people being ministered to and the body ministering to each other. Thank you, Father. We receive what we're about to receive in faith. I think before I start at verse 22, if you just start there, you throw yourself off, not knowing where he's headed if you're not real familiar with this portion of Scripture. Really, you got to get in mind verse 32 and have that in mind if you're just jumping into this. Verse 32 says this, that's what he's just said, is a great mystery. What mystery are you talking about? Verse 31 says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. But he said, this is a great mystery, but I speak what I just said. I speak concerning Christ and the church. So you're going to have to remind yourself of that as we read these earlier verses, because otherwise your mind keeps flipping. Like, this is good sermon material for my husband. This is good sermon material for my wife. And he said all this was just really, all it was just something for your mind to understand the goodness of the Lord towards you. This, the fruit of this has been preached in a lot of marriage seminars. That's wonderful. It's wonderful and it teaches good fruit. But he goes on here in verse 32 to let you know, I'm not talking about the home, really, I'm talking about Christ and the church. So keep reminding yourself of that. Keep telling yourself that. Verse 30 or 22 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Homer got healed, didn't he? He forgot 32 already. For the husband is the head of the wife. Now again, verse 32. We're talking about Christ in the church. The word head here is the word covering. It means he's the... Christ is my covering. We're talking about that earlier. I didn't think so much about that. But Christ is my banner. He is my covering. If the enemy wants to get to me, he's got to get to him through him. And he's just not getting through him. Hallelujah. I know who my covering is. He says, for the husband is the head, which is the Greek word covering, of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. I'm his. And men, this is talking about us being his. And as I like the way Gary Carpenter says it, we're his wife. We're his bride, hairy legs and all. Okay? Sorry, guys. This is what he's telling us. We're his bride. We're married to him. And one day we're going to have a big marriage ceremony. But right now we're married. Jesus is our groom. He's our head. He's our covering. And it says, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is, number two, second thing he is to us, he's the Savior. And that is the Greek word provider. He is my covering, and he takes on the responsibility, like the role of the husband in the home, to be not only the covering. You talking to her? You weren't talking to her, were you? Because you might not think I'm worth trying to come through, but I'm at least going to tear your shirt in this, because me and you are going to the ground if you're going to try to assault my wife, because I'm her covering. Oh, but not only that. He said, even as the husband is the covering, he's the provider. Now again, remind you, don't let your mind flip-flop. He's talking about Jesus and the church. He's talking about the one I'm married to. He's my covering. And he's taking on the role as the provider. He says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives. Why? Because he wants to put this in you. Even as Christ also loved the church so much that he gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself as a glorious church. You know what? He's getting excited about this marriage ceremony that's coming up. This monarch that's coming back, he gets to be joined with his bride. And there's nothing in the natural. There's no marriage in the natural that's ever been more exciting or exciting to the groom than the groom that we're married to. He's very passionate about being with his bride. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And he's assumed these two roles, our covering, our protector. And he did that all through our inheritance. And our Savior, which is our provider. That he might present it to himself as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So, again, he reminds us, I'm talking about Jesus and the church. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife, Jesus loves me, I'm his wife, Jesus must love himself. He loves himself. No man ever hated his own flesh, but in essence took care of himself. If he had any respect at all for himself, he nourished and cherished his body, his flesh. No man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherished it, even as the Lord, his bride, me, the church. Hallelujah. We are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bone. Why? Because I'm his wife, and if I'm joined to him, then the next verse tells me this great mystery. These two become one, flesh and bone. Hallelujah. What is he saying? Jesus now sits at the right hand of the Father. He is our glorified in the body head. He's the head of the church, but he's mine. He's my head. He's my covering, and he's my Savior, my provider. He nourishes and cherishes himself as the head of the church, but he's married to me. And if he would not, it's not even a flicker of a thought in his mind of somehow debilitating himself. And if he would not do that, an injustice to himself, because he is who he says he is. And he's my head, my covering, and my provider. And if I'm married to him, if he wouldn't do that to himself, if he cherishes himself, he also cherishes me. There's no way in heaven or in earth that he'll let me go without provision in this life. He is the Savior of my body and of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You'd have to hate yourself, which is impossible. And since he does not, and I'm married to him, I don't care if it's 2009. I don't care if it's 2010. He finds a way to get provision over to me. Hallelujah. Elohim, God Almighty, Jehovah Jireh, would you go into those lists of names? And Yahweh, Elohim, the all sufficient, breasted one that is so. There's one connotation they told us. I love this when I heard this one. They said, the connotation that is written concerning his name is that, which is impossible, what I'm about to say, that if God did not have a solution for your problem, because he's Elohim, Jehovah, the all-sufficient one. He's able to create out of nothing an answer to your problem. In other words, if he had never seen that one, which it's impossible, and he is sitting around on a coffee break with the other two members of the Godhead, we need to solve their problem. Well, oh Jesus, you're married to them. You're their provider. And guess what? This is totally impossible. But if I hadn't of ever, if this was the most unique situation, which we all think our situation is the most unique, nobody from Adam up until this point in 6,000 years and billions of people, I'm the first one that ever had this particular situation like this. The connotation is this, that he can say to himself, okay, new territory, I'll create an answer out of nothing. Here you go, because I'm God. I'm God. I'll provide for you even in the impossible. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad I serve Him. Besides for the fact that anything I'm going through has only been repeated billions of times. There's no temptation taking you but such as common to man. But with every temptation, He makes a way of escape. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory. I think this will be it. Deanne, why don't you come? Hallelujah. Tomorrow should be the best day. Today should be the best day of your life. Because now you're healed. And you're prosperous. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. As Bubba was talking to earlier, boy, the scripture was just burning in me. When he told Peter that upon the knowledge of knowing who I am, I'll build my church. If you know that you know that you know that He is God, He's God, that He was Word, the Word came in the flesh, dwelt among us. I know that He was the Messiah, the Christ, our Redeemer. He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That we can bombard hell with knowing who He is. Amen. Amen. With knowing who He is. And that we are redeemed from the curse. Everything. Lack. Sickness. We're redeemed from it. He said, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. That's not me. He took it for me. That's not me. I'm the one that's healed. I'm the one that's delivered. I'm the one that's saved. Praise the Lord. He took it all for me. And I know who my Redeemer is. I know who He is. That's my foundation. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.
Glory to God. My finances is blessed. My life is blessed. All curses is off. Galatians 3:13, He broke. What about witches putting a curse on you? I've been born again. Can a Christian have a curse put on them? Not if they're a Christian. Not if they're a Christian. Now you can go along with that devil and if you're afraid and you start speaking, think, I got something wrong. Yeah, then you'll just fuel it. They'll come and... But all bets went off. Same thing with generational curses. I don't have to have somebody sit and go back through some kind of analog of what I've been set free from. I'm free. I don't even have to. Did before years and years and back. I don't have to go through my house in some kind of storm and get out of my house, up underneath the bed, over here, in the closet. No. 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 You're too free for all that. Just sit down in your easy chair. Sip a cup of coffee or tea or Coke with ice. Worship God and just whisper, I don't care where you're at. In fact, they don't... Houses, they could care less about inhabiting some attic or a house or something. They want to torment you. So if you want to get rid of them, just stop wherever you're at because they're pretty close. They weren't under the bed. They were in the room that you were at. Just tell them, leave. And don't you come back no more, no more. Hallelujah, God. I'm free. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. My finances are free. But you just lift up your voice. Father, we just love you. We thank you for this freedom in this day. The grace of God which has come to us through Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. So, Father, now anoint and bless this offering. So just ask Him what He'd have you to give. Everything that you're giving is a much appreciated. We'd like to even have something now or maybe during the week to give, come in for these graduates. Tell them how much we appreciate them. So maybe you want to give something towards that this week. Father, we thank you that we are blessed exceedingly, abundantly above. So right now, we thank you that we go out of here with such a consciousness of our victory and our healing and our deliverance. And it's all through you, Master. In Jesus' name. God bless you.